play with me for just a moment here and pretend that I'm Jesus. And I can choose between having dinner with Pharisees and scribes on the one hand, or Jane Q. Sinner and her family on the other end. I can choose between people who will judge me and condemn me to hell on the one hand, or sinners, people who know how to have fun on the other hand. Who will I choose? Who will you choose? Come on, be honest now. Who would you choose to have dinner with? Sinners. The sinners, thank you, yes. Jesus spent his time with sinners because Jesus knew that those were the people who needed him. Those were the people who needed him. The righteous persons, or perhaps the self-righteous people, which is more accurate, they don't think that they need Jesus. They don't think that they're lost. They think they're good. They say, I go to church every Sunday. I go to Sunday school every Sunday. I go to Bible study every week. I give 10% of my income. I work with Habitat for Humanity and Austin Street and Ewing House. I mow the church yard. I answer the church telephones. I sit on boards and committees of the church. I help clean the church a few times a year. I volunteer plenty of time. I'm good. I know what to do. I know where to do it. I know how to act. I know how to behave. I know what to believe. I don't need grace. I don't need to be found because I have been found. I don't need any more forgiveness. I'm perfect. Yeah, right. What's wrong? What's wrong with that kind of religion? It's a fantasy, for one thing. That's true. It's a fantasy. It's too much I. It's too much me, myself, and I. It's a religion about me. What I do, how I act, how I behave, what I say, what I believe. Rather than God, rather than neighbor. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Not what you do and don't do. The truth is, it is a fantasy. The truth is, those who say that are fooling themselves. We all need to be found again and again and again. Thank you. I receive interesting emails. This is totally a sidebar. I receive interesting emails from people out on the internet when they listen to our services week after week. And one time I got an email and it said, sometimes you really have to pull the responses out of the congregation, don't you? Yeah. Well, thank you. Amen. Thank you. It is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. It is indeed a game. Unfortunately, the church today, and this has been true since day one, so don't think we've invented this, the church today tends to be filled with people who don't believe they need grace. They don't believe they need Jesus. They believe they're perfect. They believe they've arrived. Grace is good to get the people in. Forgiveness is good to get people started. But then, well, by golly, they better behave right. They better do the right things, say the right things, or they don't have it. Grace and forgiveness get you started. But then, by cracky, you better behave. Mom knows I've never behaved. Well, rarely. When I was in seminary, I was a really bad boy. I used to sit on the back pew in York Chapel at Duke Divinity School with Paul Longmire on one side and Jeremy Howell on the other. And I'm telling on them, by the way. And we would sit in the back pew, and we would be bored. I mean, literally bored to tears in chapel. And so we would sit there, and we'd pull out the hymnal, and we'd start flicking through the hymnal, and we'd take out our pencil, and we'd start to change the titles to the hymns. And so we would flick through, "Let There Be Peace on Earth Between the Sheets." "All Who Love and Serve Your City Under the Bed." "O God of Every Nation on the Toilet." "The Voice of God is Calling. We're Not Home." "This Is My Song. We Can't Sing." "Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, for the Third Time." And so forth and so on. And when we got bored, or frankly, when we got all the way through the hymnal, you know, the next semester we started changing the words to the songs themselves. "Oh Lord, don't kill your servants or fry us in a wok. Don't slice, don't dice, don't chop us or boil us in a pot. Don't roast us in an oven or microwave our brains. Oh Lord, please no crock pots or la machines, we pray. Amen." We were bad. Oh, we were bad. Well, one day we had to have a special worship service, and we had to take all the hymnals out of York Chapel and go outside in front of the main chapel there, and we had the hymnals to sing with, and then we were carting them back in, and we put them back in York Chapel, but we didn't put the hymnals back in the places we got them from. So I go in, I didn't know this, I go in, I sit down in my normal spot, pull out the hymnal. Okay, what hymn are we going to butcher today? And we open it up, and it's not the hymnal. So we look at the next hymnal. Nope, not this hymnal, not that hymnal. And we started getting frantic. Where's our hymnals? And in comes Dr. Eford. Now, Dr. Eford was my Greek professor. Incredible man. Presbyterian. Fascinating, hilarious fella. Used to always lecture us, but it felt like he was talking to me, over the top of his glasses. And he comes in and he sits down and he pulls out his hymnal and starts thumbing through to mark them for the service. And he stops. And he starts to look. And then he recognizes my penpersonship. "Paula, you know how distinctive it is." And she's nodding her head. And so he looks around looking for me. And I'm trying to hide behind the people who are sitting in front of me. And he sees me. And he goes, "You're dead." In other words, I know I need grace. Don't we all? Thank you. I know I need grace. I know I'm a sinner. Now, that word gets picked on a lot. And quite frankly, a lot of Christians don't like to talk about sin. I had a church once that said that at least you're willing to talk about sin. You may not preach very many fire and brimstone sermons, but at least you will preach on sin. Well, I know a lot about it, so after all, I ought to be able to preach on it. What is sin? It is not the things that we do wrong, or the things that we don't do that we should be doing. Sin is not a list of things. Sin is failing to do God's will in your life. The word that it comes from in Greek is an archery term. And it's used for when the archer takes his bow, pulls it back, and lets the arrow fly, and he misses the target. It's the missing of the target. That's that word that's used that we translate sin. Sin is missing the target, missing the mark for God's will in your life. Which means that sin can be, and indeed is, a very individual thing. If it's a sin for you to do something, then it's a sin for you, and it doesn't matter if there's no Bible for it. It's a sin for you. Anything that causes you to stumble, anything that causes you to miss the mark, that is sin for you. And the remedy for sin is repentance. And that's another word that, you know, we hear a lot of and it makes us kind of uncomfortable. We think blue polyester suit and toupee falling off the head and pounding on your Bible and saying, you know, repent. No. The Greek word, and the only word I'm going to teach you today, is the Greek word metanoia. M-E-T-A-N-O-I-A. Metanoia. And it means a change of mind or a change of thinking. Metanoia. It means to change your way of thinking, to change the direction that you are going, to change your orientation away from the I of that earlier parallelation that I gave, the I, the me, myself, and I of most common religion, towards God and towards others. It means to change. To repent means to change your thinking. Metanoia means to change the direction of your spiritual orientation away from yourself and towards God and others. That's what repentance is. Not following what you want to do because you want to do it, but following God's will and reaching out to your fellow human with the grace of God. That's what it means to repent. Now, with that in mind, let's hear again part of the story today that Jesus told in the gospel reading. Which of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or who, frankly, think they need no repentance. There's more rejoicing in heaven for that one than for the 99. That's a powerful image. And the truth, not the fantasy. The fantasy is, well, we're the 99. The truth is, we're the one. The fantasy is, we don't need to be found. We've already been found. We're righteous. We're good. We're perfect. Henry Ward Beecher was a Presbyterian preacher back in the early part of the 20th century and the late part of the 19th century. And he was called a peacock of the pulpit. That's a wonderful term, isn't it? That illustrates it perfectly. He was very famous. People used to come from, you know, miles and miles around to hear him preach. And he was preaching in a Methodist church one day up northeast, and in the middle of a sermon, he stopped and said, "You Methodists, you like to believe that you're moving on towards perfection, that one of these days God's going to make you perfect. Tell me, is there anybody here, is there a Methodist here who believes you're perfect? If you are, stand up." And in the very back of the sanctuary, this little old lady stands up. And he says, "Sister, are you perfect?" And she says, "No, but my husband's first wife was." Fantasy. We're not the 99. We're the one that was lost. And we're the one who keeps running away. The other story needs to be lifted up too. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. She had 9. She'd lost 1. God is looking for 1. And that one is you. God has the 9. She's looking for you. God, the Good Shepherd, has the 99. He's looking for you. "Oh, I've been found already. I'm here." Well, we run away sometimes. "I've been found already. I serve on committees. I give. I go to study classes. I come to church sometimes." God's looking for you. The Good Shepherd is looking for you. What are you going to do? Are you going to run away? That's what I want to do sometimes. I get tired. Oh, I get pooped. I went and had lunch the other day with a friend of mine, a preacher friend who pastors a new church start out in the Rockwall area, and he's exhausted. He's wiped out. For 3 years, he's been banging his head against the grindstone trying to grow this church that he was ordered to start. And after 3 years of hard work, he barely has 40 in worship. In an area and with a technique that should be producing 150 to 300 people every single Sunday. And he's beat down with depression. Faithfully working. And as he says, going nowhere. It can get hard, my friends. And you know it. You live it. Life is not easy. And the Christian life is really tough. And sometimes it's easy to go and run off into the wilderness. Are you the one that Jesus is looking for today? Are you the one that the Good Shepherd is searching for today? Are you the one that the woman is sweeping up the house for today? If you are, then you're here for the right reason. And do you know someone who is running away going, And if you are, you have an opportunity now to be a good shepherd. You have an opportunity now to be the woman sweeping the house and gather them in. As we celebrate the 48th anniversary of this congregation today, and as we look forward with excitement to next year and the 49th, and the year after that, and the 50th, what a better time to start sweeping in the lost coins. What a better time to start going out and searching for that lost one. What a better time to recognize that sometimes we are the lost one. If you are, there is no better time like right now to come home to God's family.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 7-5-1-5-0. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.